You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Senior lecturer in global studies at the University of Auckland, Dr. Tatiana Bukliaj, published an op-ed in Newsroom this week on the fast-track legislation. Bukliaj states we need to rethink how we engage in the democratic process in light of what critics have called democratic restrictions in the fast-track process. Research Centre Koi Tu at the University of Auckland has explored the potential of a deliberative democracy, which places reasoned debate at the core of the democratic practice. Bukliaj think this could be relevant in the context of the ongoing fast-track debate. I spoke with Bukliaj about the fast-track bill, alternative ways of building infrastructure within a democratic process, and where this kind of democracy has worked before. What does the fast-track legislation mean for democracy?
We don't really know what kind of shape this fast-track legislation is going to take because it actually has changed since the first proposal early in the year. And as I wrote in this article, the first proposal actually placed ministers in a completely decisive position. They could basically choose which projects could be referred to the expert panel, and then they could take or leave the expert panel recommendations, right? And now this has changed so that, like, this current version is that ministers propose these. Actually, only one minister now. It's Minister for Infrastructure, and then the expert panel makes the kind of final decision. So we don't, like, it may be quite similar to what Labour government proposed. But I suppose what I was more interested as, you know, someone who is not necessarily sort of student of environmental management, but a student of a scholar of democracy, I was interested in the arguments that they were making about the fact that, which I thought were potentially problematic and maybe dangerous, is that the fact that they were elected ministers, that they had democratic mandate to make these kinds of decisions, and it's simply because you're elected. And I think this kind of reduction of democracy to representative democracy and elections is potentially a problem, and this is why I thought, like, we need to discuss. And this is the kind of argument that appears, and it's made by ministers of the current coalition government, not only in relation to fast-track approvals bills, but you can hear it, like, across a lot of things, like a lot of these changes.
Is there a way to engage people in the democratic process while allowing crucial developments to happen quickly, which is what the fast-track legislation is for?
Yeah. So I want to say that, you know, I have actually a lot of sympathy at the same time. And I also want to say that sometimes in New Zealand, we present things like this only happens in New Zealand and nowhere else. And actually, this kind of situation we see around the world. And I would encourage, you know, people also to look at what Ezra Klein and has written in, you know, New York Times and Jerusalem Demsis, another journalist, I can't actually remember, I think it's the Politico, how actually Democrats cannot build, in how blue states in the US don't build because they have this strong participatory democratic governance, which was built in 1970s in a particular political context. So I want to say, like, yeah, I mean, I understand that we need to do something. I guess kind of my answer is that while there's attraction of the sort of to say, okay, you know, we have elected politicians, we have the mandate, the public, you know, has thought we can kind of do whatever they want. It's a very risky path to take. You don't want to reduce democracy to that. You are potentially, you know, kind of sliding into, and I don't think New Zealand is at a great risk, but reducing people's interest in democracy, and you want to keep it very participatory. So I guess kind of my argument is, let's think about how we can both retain the mechanisms of participation that we have in New Zealand, certainly since 1980s, while also thinking how do we actually make them better so we can actually make these decisions. So, you know, I mean, I was I wrote a little bit about the work that I have done in deliberative democracy and citizens' assemblies. And kind of the whole idea of these participatory processes is to bring a cross-section or representative cross-section of population. So you do have this diversity of voices, but not necessarily the activists and political parties in the room, and really provide them with resources and time and access to expertise so they can make and support that they need so they can make decisions that and also kind of expect them to actually make a decision, right? So that it's fully informed and it really looks at like all the trade-offs that you need to look at, right? For example, you don't only look at the environment, you look at environmental damage or sort of environmental impact of a particular, but also like have a really good look into, you know, like economic benefits and social benefits and what does it mean for the communities then, what does it mean for jobs and so forth. So, and really kind of try to make the decision. So, you know, this is not an area of democratic innovation that has been done a lot in New Zealand. It has been done a little bit more internationally around climate policies. But I think it's something that would be worth experimenting on and sort of just thinking how do we expand this repertoire of democratic innovation while kind of trying to, you know, keep this balance between both protecting the environment and protecting the communities, but also kind of ensuring that actually we do have some, you know, economic progress in the country, because it's, you know, you can't kind of not do anything, right? Like, I mean, people need to live on something, like, as we can see, if, like, you know, yesterday closures of forestry, sort of the logging, the wood mills, which may mean actually the decline of communities in New Zealand.
Where has this kind of democracy been embraced already?
Well, there's some kind of institutionalized as a long-term or like kind of one-off experiments. So there's been a lot of one-off experiments, right? So for example, France has run a big assembly on asking people how do we progress climate policies while also retaining keeping an eye on social justice and equity. And citizens' assemblies produced a whole range of like list of policies. Some of them are really excellent, and unfortunately many have been watered down by like various legislation. Here in New Zealand we've done some work, for example, with like water care on what should be the next source of water for Auckland, which was really interesting because people had time, like basically 4 weekends over 2 months, to discuss a variety of options that Auckland, and I should just sort of backtrack and say, like, this was, the question was, like, what should be a kind of backup source of water for Auckland post 2040, so that we have a backup source if when the city is, when the city population has grown and potentially we face very dry years, and like because we think that in our climate modeling there will be very wet and very dry years. And it was very interesting that after like this 2 months of deliberation, people actually came out with an answer that we should be looking at direct actually recycling wastewater, which was not an obvious answer at the start. But when they actually examined and decided that actually the method that they were most concerned about environmental impact and the cost, that this made the most sense. And so this was their recommendation to WaterCare to look into this. And WaterCare has actually started some pilot work on that. And we've done also some work on transport, and that has, for example, shown that actually people are prepared to go for, you know, solutions that are not obvious. For example, even like, you know, paying congestion charge or actually agreeing to remove car parks from arterial routes, in favor of like bus routes and cycle paths, once they've actually had time to, you know, examine the evidence and to discuss and talk to experts. So I think there is definitely room to do more. Nothing, to my knowledge, has been done at sort of national level.
That was senior lecturer at the University of Auckland, Dr. Tatiana Bukliaj, on the fast-track legislation within the context of how democratic participation works in Aotearoa.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.